Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Consultant dermatologist Rosemary Colesman joins me now. We're going to discuss an issue that we get a huge amount of texts and emails about. Acne. And we are going to talk about some of the suspected causes of acne and what it is that you can do about it. Rosemary, very good morning. Welcome back to the programme. How are you?
Good morning, Philip. Very well, thank you.
Something that is obviously associated most with teenagers, but people of all ages can get acne.
Absolutely. About 85% of teenagers are unfortunate enough to suffer. But people don't realise that 15 to 25% of adult women also get acne. And they probably form the largest group that dermatologists see in their clinics.
Do we have a good understanding of the causes, though?
Yes, we do indeed. Acne is around a long time. It's a common condition when oil glands get clogged with sebum, dead skin and bacteria. It shows inflammatory blackheads, lumps, bumps and cysts on the skin. And the causes range from genetic, if it runs in your family, you might be unlucky, hormonal imbalances, using the wrong skincare for your skin type, very heavy makeups or even overwashing, certain medications, stress can aggravate acne. And indeed, things like physical pressure, like in the gym, when people have barbells across their back, the weight of the back or the weight of the school bags on the shoulders. But a very big cause of acne, which I don't think gets enough publicity and which people can work on themselves at home, is foodstuffs that trigger acne. It's the old wives' tale of chocolate causing acne. It does. In certain individuals, Philip.
Oh, and okay. All
right.
They
can make a big change to their food at home to help themselves.
Because I thought that we had kind of written that one off. Right, we'll get into that in a little bit more detail, but let's just discuss the spots first, if we can. Please walk away from the radio now, people, if you are in any way squeamish, because not all spots are the same. Talk to me through the different types.
Well, probably the three main types would be blackheads, which the youngsters will often start scrubbing, but these are not dirt. They're caused by oxidized sebum, so it is not dirt. And they can be quite uninflammatory, and some people will just get sheets of blackheads, but that is acne. Some people will just get a lot of white bumps under the skin, so-called macrocomedones or closed blackheads. Again, a very stubborn type of acne. Other people will get lots
of... So they're white because they're not exposed to oxygen.
Exactly. Okay. And they're closed off and you can't squeeze them out. And then you can get the type papulopustular acne, which would be lots of small red lumps and bumps and little pus spots, little volcanoes. And then when they rupture into the skin, you get these nodulocystic lesions, big, sore, painful lumps. But there is one feature which is common to all of these types, and that is scarring. And this is why dermatologists are so passionate about treating acne as early as possible, because the vast majority of people can suffer a scar from even the mildest of acne. And the scars can be permanent and are extremely distressing and indeed cost money and can be uncomfortable to reduce.
Okay, well, that then leads me to the big takeaway for anybody under the age of 18 listening to this now. Is there any circumstance ever in which anybody should take the law into their own hands in front of a mirror and squeeze a big zit?
I don't know why you reserve this for the under 18-year-olds.
Because that's when the habit starts. And that's when the temptation is probably at its greatest.
Well, may well be. I think it's anybody with a magnifying glass is the big problem. Yes, I do. I wouldn't expect somebody to walk out the door with a yellow spot and a big yellow pus bit on the top. I say get clean tissue, gently express it, wipe the pus off, dab it and don't pick at it. The problem is when they then pick the scab off that and pick the scab. But Philip, it's not picking that causes the scars per se.
It's not?
It may aggravate it. No. The scar is a primary feature of the acne and the bacteria which can dissolve and damage the skin, just like anything can scar the skin. Any cause of inflammation could potentially scar skin.
But having done that, then, should you use some kind of an astringent to close the pore up again and stop it getting bacteria and dirt and whatever else in it?
Well, by all means, there are very nice over-the-counter products containing an ingredient called benzoyl peroxide, which is one of our oldest and longest standing treatments for acne. It's very inexpensive. It's extremely effective. It will be a very good thing to put on if you've squeezed a spot or have a few very active, juicy lesions that you want to settle down. The disadvantage is it bleaches your clothes, so you just have to be aware of that. You don't put on your favourite T-shirt afterwards. You might put it on going to bed at night with an old top, but it's safe in pregnancy. You can buy it over the counter. It's inexpensive and it's very, very effective, particularly for blackheads. The trouble is it's very irritating, so not many people can tolerate as much as they would need.
And obviously there's a hormonal thing here at all ages in this condition. How often as a dermatologist do you find yourself referring people to GPs and getting them on the contraceptive pill as a way to treat their acne?
Well, they usually refer them to us and we will start the contraceptive pill when it's appropriate for that patient. So we would do that all the time for young girls. It's one step, particularly if there's any suggestion of irregular periods or other symptoms of hormonal imbalance, such as excess hair on the face, irregular periods, weight gain. But what we would do in that situation is investigate their hormones before we would put them on the pill, because once you put them on the pill, you are suppressing the hormones and you won't get a true picture. So what you're looking for there is often polycystic ovary syndrome, which is terribly common. And I'd particularly think of that, not when a young girl walks in the door to me with acne, but when the acne keeps coming back and I can't keep it away. If every time I clear it, it bounces back, then you start thinking of hormonal imbalances.
One of the questions that has come in on 51551 is, well, I don't know if they're diagnosing themselves here or not, but she says, would Rosemary have any advice for hormonal breaks out on a chin appearing now in mid-40s, presuming perimenopausal, but anything she could suggest to get through it would be helpful?
That is a really common scenario. And the first thing I would do would be to go through her diet. Because many, many years ago, I coined a term called acne latte. And it was for adult women who had the mid-morning cappuccino or latte and typically present with a few spots on either side of their chin, which are a pain in the neck and very stubborn. It can also be treated with topical benzoyl peroxide, or mild acne like that can often be controlled with topical antibiotics from the GP or dermatologist.
Okay. And
I would go through the entire diet there.
All right, but is it the lactose or is it lattes specifically or what?
So, first of all, I'd like to qualify this and say, before I have the board Banya down my neck, this is 100% based on my clinical experience of 35 years of treating acne. The first thing I do is take a thorough dietary history. And dairy products and milk itself increase insulin secretion, which then has a knock-on influential effect on the male hormones. So it can be milk, it can be skimmed milk, yogurt, cheese, and indeed chocolate.
Suffice it to say, when you have recommended to people that they reduce this part of their diet, their intake, their dairy intake, do they get the desired response?
If it is the cause, it can be very dramatic. Literally within a week or two, people can't believe that their acne is gone. And it's not the coffee. So what I say is have an Americano, allow yourself a latte or a cappuccino once a week, because then you won't be craving them. But cut down your dairy enormously. I see it a lot in teenagers. Say the teenagers who are big into sports, the rugby lads who have what I call an acne smoothie, which is whereby they'll make a daily smoothie with banana, yogurt or milk, a dairy protein powder. They throw in an egg. They have some berries. They'll throw in some peanut butter. And all of those foods aggravate acne. And if I can get them to switch to a healthy green anti-inflammatory smoothie and they can still have vegan protein powder, it can make a big difference.
Okay.
So it's not that you can always treat the acne with food alone, but if somebody is having food products, say high glycemic foods, sugary sweet drinks every day, protein power bars full of sugar, it's very hard to get their acne under control with drugs alone.
Let's move on. Another text. My son is 19 and has suffered with acne for almost 4 years. We've tried antibiotics, which worked well for about 6 months, but then stopped being effective. He was then put on another medication, but had an awful skin reaction to that, which really affected his confidence, so he had to come off it. He is now scared to take medication and his acne is as bad as ever. Is there anything that you can suggest?
Well, the poor lad has had an awful experience. The first thing I would do, Philip, is go through his diet in detail. And then I would recommend he goes to a dermatologist because we have got other drugs. So just because you have a reaction to one antibiotic, we have many other antibiotics and alternatives and slightly unusual drugs like Dapsone. We also have a vitamin A-related drug, derived drug called Roaccutane. And low-dose Roaccutane should have no effect, only a beneficial effect on his skin and mood. Because while Roaccutane has had a lot of bad press about mood, in my experience, everybody's mood changes on it. They're 99.9% much happier.
Okay. In general, what is your view of pimple patches and of strips for across the nose to remove blackheads?
I don't think they play a large role. I think they're for the very much cosmetic clogged skin rather than acne. There's no role for strips across the nose if you've got good going acne. You need medical treatment to prevent the blackheads at source. Pimple patches, they're not going to do you any harm if you've got the odd spot. But with a lot of these things, I hate to see them delay the youngster in particular getting treatment for acne. Going to the beautician, getting acne facials, spending a lot of money on over-the-counter products for acne when what they really need is to step in there with medical treatment. I think tell the parents in particular, because the adults will refer themselves, but take a close look at their child's skin. If they see one single mark on their face from an acne spot, one little depression, one little hole, get them to the doctor fast. They're scarring.
Very quickly, 30 seconds remaining, daily skin routine to avoid acne.
To avoid acne, don't overwash. Use correct skincare for your skin type. If you've got any tendency to oily skin or you're getting a few blackheads or small spots, go into the chemist, go to one of the reputable ranges and get their cleanser and a nighttime cream for acne-prone skin. And with your sunblock, make sure that it's oil-free for acne-prone skin.
That's it. Never forget the sunblock. Dr. Rosemary Coleman, consultant dermatologist, thank you very much. That is all for today. Thank you very much for listening. You can catch up on anything you might have missed on this morning's show on the RTE Radio app. Claire's back with you tomorrow. Today's programme was produced by Sue Murphy, researcher A.B. Philbin-Bowman, broadcast coordinator Jarlath Holland, and on sound Niall McMonagall. Now at midday, here's Louise.